Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Hoshea Perach Yud Gimel, the 13th chapter of Sefer Hoshea. We are one away from the end of the entire Sefer. This is the topic of this Perach, is the danger of the leadership of Ephraim. Once again, Ephraim is the general tone given to the northern kingdom of Israel, the 10.5 tribes, and Hoshea is focusing on them in terms of their role of leadership. So the perek is only 15 psukim long, which is typical of Hoshea, very short but actually dense perakim. And the starting point is where he talks about how when Yeravam, which is embedded sort of in the first pasuk of Kedaber Ephraim Reseis, when Ephraim spoke angrily, Nasahu bi Yisrael, he took power over Israel, Vayesham Baval Vayomos. But then he became guilty through Baal, which is a service of Avodah Zarah, and failed and died. And then he goes on to describe in a few micro sections in this about the sins that he was involved with. What was it? Is that he set up these golden calves, but the people went further than that. They made their own personal gods in their house, which they would actually kiss and service in their own house. And because of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the mashal, which it should remind us of a few prakim earlier. Lachen yu ka'anan boiker v'chatal mashkim holeich. You'll be like this mist in the morning, which disappears very soon into the day, and like this chaff blown around outside the granaries, meaning to say it's not going to be long-lasting. Like your tshuva earlier on was not real and dissipating, so too you will be not real and dissipate. Your power will dissipate. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu re-emphasizes a theme we've seen before now, that I took you out of Egypt, I brought you out of Egypt, I knew you in the Midbar, I took care of you, I looked after you when you got to the land of Israel, but then you forgot me, you became arrogant. And so Kodesh Baruch Hu describes in these remarkable terms how he is going to be like a leopard laying in wait for them on the way, like a bereft bear, sort of a bear whose child has been attacked in the most angry way, will rip them open and eat their up to their hearts like lions. That's like how Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to reprimand them. And he says, and therefore he turns to them, he says very powerfully, Shecheschcha Yisrael kivi be'ezrecha. You hurt yourself because I was your help. And then he finally turns in the end of this paragraph by saying, I gave you a king. Where's your king now? Your king is gone. All you had was me. And now you destroy, you are rejected. You destroyed that relationship. I gave you a king in my anger and I took him away once again in my rage. And the last little section, very few psukim at the very end, from Yudbeis to Tezov at the end, is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes how the sin of Ephraim has been building up, and Hashem hasn't reacted and hasn't reacted and hasn't reacted, but it will react and it'll all come boiling out. And at which point he closes the perek by saying, Hihu bein achim yafri, he was a brother who flourished among the rest of the brothers. Yavoruach kodima ruach Hashem imidbar oleh, and this wind is coming from the desert. Vevoish mekoroi ve'echarav mayonoi, and his spring will dry up. So this sounds like setting up Ephraim for this distraction. Let's focus on really four points in this parak. The first point is the first pasuk, which is pasuk aleph. Kedaber Ephraim Reseis, when Ephraim spoke angrily, Nosahu bi Yisrael, he took power over Israel. What is that referring to? So the Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah in Perek Yud Beis, Parsha He, describes the actual event where the kingdom of Yehuda, or the kingdom of Israel, failed, which led to the split in the kingdom. And this is actually before Rechabim, the son of Shlomo, takes rule, and that's when Shlomo Melech went and became a little too opulent. Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, married many women, increased his army, increased his horse, his supply of horses, went back to Mitzrayim. And there's a description how that he married Basya, the daughter of Paro. It was a political marriage. There obviously was some form of conversion. She was in some way had been sincerely converted to Judaism, but at the same time, there are problems involved with this. The problems that are involved with this are the following. Is that it says that when he married her, the next morning, it describes how he had a very late night, the night that he got married to Bas Paro. Describes she had 80 different types of dances. Shmonim mine rekodim rokta Bas Paro bo'os ha'layla. That and in whatever form of seduction it was, Shlomo HaMelech woke up 4 hours late the next morning, and the keys to the Beis HaMikdash were under his pillow, and nobody dared enter, which meant to say that the Korban Tamid was brought 4 hours late in the day. And there's a description in the Medrash about who came and spoke to him about this. One opinion is that it was his mother. His mother, Bas Sheva, came to Shlomo and reprimanded him and said, how could you do this? How could my son, a person who keeps the mitzvahs, do, renege on his responsibilities to the Mikdash? Whereas the other opinion says that it was actually Yerovam ben Nevat himself. And Yerovam was the one who reprimanded Shlomo, and that's what it means, Kidaber Ephraim Reseis. When Ephraim spoke angrily, meaning to say he spoke to Shlomo. Now, was he right to speak to Shlomo angrily? Yes. You need to have an auditing team. You need to have somebody from the outside telling you that this is not all right, even if you're the king of Israel. But apparently it was short-lived because Rehoboam himself was not doing this altruistically. Ultimately, he was seeking power, and when he finally got power, the true Rehoboam came out, and he set up a post of Avodah Zarah. He set up the golden calves. So his very own tune backfired against him, which is what's being described in the first pasuk. Let's move a little further on into the perek. One other point to focus on is if you're looking at the psukim of perek Yud Gimel, Zion to Ches, it talks about how Hashem describes himself as a leopard, as a this bereft bear, as this lion attacking Israel. What's the point of all these beasts? What's the message? What's the image we're getting over here? The Malvin says this is a deeply human problem. We see this every day, and that is that people forget Hashem when they're successful, but the moment something bad happens, then they say, Hashem, how could you do that to me? Hashem, Tzadik Varalo, how could you? Such a righteous person. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? You forget me, you do well in the land of Israel, you build up an army, you build up an economy, you think you're so great. And then you ignore me, but when the trouble comes along and you say, Hashem, how could you be that bear? How could you be that leopard? Hashem, how could you be that lion? How could you hurt us so? So the Malbim says, sorry. And that's the response that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says afterwards. He says, very simply, Shechescho Yisrael ki vi be'ezrecho. You hurt yourself. It's a consequence of your actions. It's not the big bad bear. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's to blame. It's the consequence of your actions. You forgot him. That's what's happening over here. Very human description over here. In the pasuk, the third point to focus on is pasuk Yud Aleph. Eten lecha melech ba'api ve'akach be'rasi. I gave you a king in my anger and took him away in my fury. That's a very famous pasuk, and it's used numerous times in And the idea is the following. The Mefarshim debate when this is. The Malbim says it's actually referring to the exact time that Hoshea the prophet is living. And it's referring to the king Hoshea ben Elah, who's the last king of Israel, who in fact was a righteous person, but it was too late. Even though he made good institutions and he got rid of the Eglei Zahav, it was too late. There was too much anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the people themselves, and ultimately they themselves didn't respond, and they slandered him to the king of Assyria. But the other Mephoshim dig it back earlier, and they say, and this is one of the fascinating psukim which is used to describe the fact that in Shmuel Aleph Perek Ches, when Bnei Israel requested a king, it was done actually in a bad taste. And therefore, what does it say? It say over here that Hoshea is commenting historically that I gave you the king in anger in the first place, and it was short-lived then too, because Shaul HaMelech was killed when he was a young man in battle. With his sons. And some of the other Mephoshim push it back. The Radak pushes it to the times of Yerovam ben Nevat himself, when Yerovam ben Nevat was in fact supposed to be a good king, but he was given in anger because of the anger with Rechabim for not leading in a way befitting to be the son of Shlomo in the same way to unite the people. Finally, the last and final point to focus on in this perek is the last pasuk, where it describes how Ephraim was this promising and flowering son, but ultimately a wind comes up and dries him up. The wind obviously refers to Assyria, which is going to come and dry up Yehuda. But what does it mean to say that he was this flowering and Yafri, he was so good? So the Radak, the Malbim, all the Mefarshim say, it refers back to the times when it was Yosef ben Yaakov, the person Yosef, who was really this outstanding leader. He was among the tribes, among the brothers of Israel, and he stood for so much, but ultimately it went too far, and he brought himself to exile. My own comment on this is just very fascinating. A fascinating point is that, one of the things that the brothers were concerned about was the leadership of Yosef himself. The brothers were concerned that if they would have a Yosef leading them, that perhaps they would become too assimilated in the cultures around them. Perhaps he was too forward. And that's perhaps why they tried to get rid of him. In fact, they saw him as a roidef, as the Sforno says in Parshas Vayeshev. Well, what was the danger they saw? Ultimately, the danger was exactly this. The danger was that Ephraim, the leader of the rest of the tribes, brought those 10.5 tribes into exile essentially because of the corrupt society that was led under the branch, under the banner of Yosef. So yes, much potential, but there's a dangerous potential in the view of assimilation, the view of integration, when taken to an extreme without any other jurisdiction, without any transparency and accountability. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.